What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Titletown, South Florida, the Miami Herald's high school sports show. We are in the football playoffs and ready to roll with another round of coverage here with our guests. I'm Andre Fernandez, deputy sports editor at the Miami Herald, joined as always by David Wilson, our Miami Herald sports writer. And we have a very special guest today, our good friend of the show, Mr. Larry Bluestein. If you guys know about high school football, you know Larry. He covers it all over the past 30, 40 years, an encyclopedia of not just high school football knowledge, but a lot of things, as we'll talk to him later on, just about these state semifinals coming up this weekend and how these teams look against some of the out-of-town competition that's coming down. We had a great second round. We hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving and enjoyed last week, not just, you know, Turkey Day, but also what came after that. A good third round of games, the regional finals. Even though the matchups turned out kind of how we expected, still some pretty good games. We'll take a look at the showdown between American Heritage and Cardinal Gibbons, a matchup of two teams that were ranked in the top 30 nationally. And we'll look at Homestead, which struck early and often on special teams and took down a pretty good Miramar team to advance to their first state semifinal since 1984. And a showdown between True North and Palmer Trinity, where it turned into a scoring fest between the two teams. The Titans, in only their fourth year of existence, going to the state semifinals already. And as we said before, Larry will be on. We're going to break down the next round, maybe talk a little recruiting as well. As we know, National Signing Day, the first one, is coming up on December 21st. David, how's it going, man? And how are you enjoying these playoffs so far?
Pretty good. You know, some big statement wins, I think, from some people. You mentioned Homestead. I think that was, in some ways, maybe the biggest story of the weekend. Obviously, Heritage Gibbons was, I think, pegged as the game of the week. And I think the big thing we learned from that one was if we get this Heritage Central game in, I guess, 3 weeks, because there will be a bye week in between, that could be an all-time state championship game. But a fun weekend of games. You know, okay weekend of games at Hard Rock Stadium. Mixed results, I guess, at the two days I spent there. But yeah, overall, pretty good weekend of football down here in South Florida, as it often is.
Yeah, pretty much one good half. That first half by the Dolphins. After that, it's pretty much a snooze fest. And on Saturday, looking like a typical weekday Marlins game with the way the crowd vacated quickly. But anyway, that's for another time. Let's start with that
other podcast.
Other podcast, exactly. Which, by the way, catch our podcast real quick. Plug on that one now that David brought it up. David's on a lot of these pods. We have the Heat, Marlins, Dolphins, and Canes. You can find them on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, everywhere. You know, and just check them out. We have a bunch of information on all your favorite local teams. But starting off with Broward County this week, where, as we mentioned before, American Heritage, a five-time state champ. Ever since the new coach Mike Smith took over, that was the mission, to get Heritage back to that state championship level after the year off that they had, down year that they had last year. And they're two steps away. Obviously, another challenging team coming in this week with Jacksonville Bulls. But let's look at that game and how they overcame Gibbons a second time. In the first quarter, though, the Chiefs were serious. I mean, Kamari Moulton, they did something they hadn't done in the first game, and that's getting the end zone after the first time around. Here's Kamari Moulton scoring from close range to make it 7-0 Chiefs. I don't even know if that clip makes you appreciate the shot he took.
Oh my God. You can hear it, I think.
I know. And even then, I'm sure when you hear it in person, it was probably even worse. But that's how Gibbons jumped ahead. And not only that, they were up 10-0, and you're starting to think, uh-oh, maybe Gibbons can turn it on them. But Blake Murphy, Louisiana Monroe commit, he's really come along in the later stages of this season. And you see the chemistry he has with guys like Brandon Innes and others. Here's a throw to Innes that got the Patriots rolling. And that started the Mark Fletcher show from there. Two touchdowns for the former Ohio State commit, who's now reopened his recruiting, as we've talked about before. Here's one of those touchdowns for Fletcher. Oh, David, as you appropriately put in that tweet, that's why everyone's after him. That ability to break tackles and that speed. And here's another example. This one was a little closer, but this one started to put the game away. But as we know, that it's not just Mark Fletcher heritage, although he is the principal guy in that backfield. Byron Lewis has been another factor. Here's him powering his way into the end zone to really put this game away. And that would do it. The Patriots prevail over Gibbons, ending Gibbons' two-year run. The Chiefs had a good one for 2 years in a row, and I think they're here to stay. Even if the heritage, this is going to be kind of, you know, Coach DeBuck does a great job over there, and I think they can kind of be back and forth as they usually are in the next couple of years. But talking about heritage, I mean, I don't see how this isn't at this point. I know Bulls has, they're not the old Bulls,
yeah.
So I don't see how they're not on a collision course with Central at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they look fantastic. It was kind of the start of the game was kind of the inverse of that regular season matchup between Heritage and Gibbons, where that game was probably closer than the final score indicated because Gibbons kept turning it over when they got inside like the 40-yard line. Heritage did that on their first two possessions. But otherwise, I mean, Mark Fletcher ran for almost 200 yards. They've got a great wrinkle they use where they put him and Byron Lewis, who's the next, you know, Mark Fletcher, next Sony Michel. American Heritage has so many good ones. Put him in the backfield together, used Lewis as a fullback, and that's obviously really dangerous. And then you touched on Blake Murphy. He's kind of the unsung hero of that team, which is strange to say about a quarterback, but when you've got guys like Mark Fletcher and Brandon Innes, Lewis, I mean, so many weapons. The quarterback falls under the radar. He's had some injuries the last few years, but you know, this is the best I've seen him look. He's always been a really good runner, but that he made some great throws, that one to Innes that we saw. Perfect deep ball there. He's a weapon for those guys. And I mean, I think we're all rooting for that Central Heritage game. That would be, you know, in Fort Lauderdale and in Miami Stadium. Like that would be one of the most hotly anticipated state title games in a long time, I think.
Well, it's never happened before. Dade versus Broward final state championship. And we're talking history that goes back to the early 60s. And for, you know, for one reason or another, it's never been bracketed that way until now. And we may not just have one, there's at least the possibility of having two, because Homestead got a step closer, and special teams, as I mentioned before, was a big reason why they jumped all over Miramar. First, for the opening kickoff, here's David Jester making a big play. That Homestead guy, that PA guy, gets so hyped.
Underrated.
He's funny. He had more to say on that. And then after that, Joshua Townsend, of course, who we've talked about just being the pivotal kid who returned. He had an ankle injury midseason, and since he came back, Homestead hasn't lost. And here's some of the reason why right here. You see his touchdown. But Miramar, to their credit, wouldn't go quietly. Even though they fell behind 20-0, the running game was there at times. Nate Henry, another big game, rushing the football over 130 yards. And Jordan Jones also came through. Here's a nice touchdown run he had to get Miramar a little bit back in the game. But in the end, it was too much Townsend, too much Homestead defense, and they put it away. Here's his second touchdown of the game. Homestead and that PA guy that we were so fond of, thought he was announcing the whole night. He thought it was going to be Homestead Aquinas. But guess again, because Jones High made a statement. They destroyed Orlando Edgewater, which was the top seed in the class going into the week. And now the Broncos have to hit the road all the way to right by the Citrus Bowl to take on that Jones team that is red hot right now, 10 wins in a row. They had a quarterback change. They are now potentially a favorite in this matchup, even though Homestead's had a good year. But let's see what Phillip Simpson had to say about his team's accomplishment, which, like we said before, first time since 1984.
Coach, you weren't even alive last time Homestead made it, 1984. But in all seriousness, the accomplishment, Coach, you've built this and been a part of this build-up for this program. How proud are you right now seeing what's happening?
You know, I mean, I'm holding back a little bit because, obviously the job is not done, but, I mean, it's exciting times. You come in year one, you go 2-8 trying to build a program. Year two, COVID year, you go to the third round, lose to Venus. Year three, you go to St. Thomas, and you lose to St. Thomas. So now year four, you come in and you show progress. You show a strong pulse. You know, you show life by not stalemating that third round. You win and get to the fourth round, become a regional champion, which is an exciting time. So it's a great day to be a Bronco.
What did you see tonight that you didn't see the last time you were in this round?
Confidence. We know we're not the St. Thomas. The reality was, people was fixed on St. Thomas, right? The status quo. And we watched them, and we was not, intimidated. We felt we could have played, but it was uncharted territories. You know, we was in the middle of the ocean with no paddle. And you saw it. We was deer headlights, and we just never got it going. Uncharacteristic things. Going off that year, we lost week one to Palmetto. The mistakes we made, we haven't seen until we got to St. Thomas. So that was just our reality of last year. So this year, you just saw confidence. You saw that I told my quarterback, man, you've been in the third round all 3 years of high school, so there's nothing to talk about. You know, so and that's what you saw in that leadership.
Yeah. How much that first, to open with a kickoff return for a score like that, it's not everything. You have to back it up, but how much was that to kind of maybe, like, ease
set
in?
Set the tone, because the reality is that, they came out, they had a strong run game. They had a strong run game. They was moving the ball. They was working the clock. So to get ahead early was important because they came out strong. They came out tough and kind of warmed down. So that early jump put them in a position that they didn't want to be in because passing the ball for them was a challenge.
Yeah.
And running the ball was a little success. So for having to play behind the whole game just put the games in our hands.
Yeah, but your special teams overall, though, I mean, to again back it up with a punt return like two drives late.
Our best special teams night of the season. Yeah. Three phases of the game. Yeah. You give up two touchdowns in four quarters to a strong team.
Yeah.
You put up 33 points, and that's mixed in with special teams, so you win all three phases of the game. You're supposed to win the game.
Yeah, this is probably not a short answer, but what is Joshua Townsend, what has he meant to this program as part of that build to what you accomplished?
Joshua Townsend is Homestead, and Homestead is Joshua Townsend, period. He's the guy. He's our neighborhood hero. He's that program, true post. We do not, we play through him. He gives everything he got, and he's a special, special human being. He deserves everything coming his way.
I think I threw in the story, Ronald Reagan was president. The Dolphins were getting ready to play the last time the Dolphins were in the Super Bowl against the 49ers. And somebody tweeted Carl Lewis was the Olympic champion the last time Homestead made it this far, but a tremendous accomplishment. For the Broncos, and now we'll bring in Larry in a little bit to talk about this matchup and talk about Jones High, but this could be the best game of the week in terms of matchup. I mean, if you look at the talent, the high level talent on both sides of the field, just in terms of competitiveness. I mean, David, you're familiar with some of the guys on the Jones, especially they have a UM commit. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's been one of the better defensive players in the entire state. Malik Bryant. Played at IMG previously, came back home to finish his high school career at Jones, and has them on the brink of getting back to the state final. You mentioned they made a quarterback change, and it seems like it's really sparked the offense. I mean, they obliterated Edgewater, lost a close game to Edgewater in the regular season, came back and blew them out in the region championship. Only other loss this year was to Duncanville, which is, I think, a top 10 team in the country out in Texas. So, yeah, I mean, they're really good. But I think Homestead made, they're going to be an underdog, like you said, going this weekend. But the way that they beat up on Miramar, which I think everyone coming in expected that to be a close game, I think is pretty telling that this team has had, kind of its ups and downs this year. Obviously lost to Southridge, had some injuries. But it does seem like they're kind of peaking at the right time. And as long as Joshua Townsend is out there and, we'll see if Malik Bryant just torments this offensive line, it'll cause a lot of problems for Homestead. But if Townsend has time to make plays, like it's hard to doubt what he can do.
Yeah. Well, other powerhouses that advanced fairly comfortably this week, Columbus in a rematch against Doral once again. Central got a more of a battle from Norland, but were able to pull through. Chaminade and Cardinal Newman surprised me a little bit, the way Chaminade just handled them, although it's just a statement again of how deep Chaminade is. Davion Gauz with a big game there. And the Lions are going to face True North Academy that we mentioned earlier, going to its first state semifinal, 58-37 over Palmer Trinity. This one turned into a scoring fest real quickly. I mean, a lot of short kickoffs that were putting each team on a short field, but one of the stars of this game was the freshman wide receiver, J-Rock Lopez, caught three touchdown passes, 9 overall for 208 yards. Here's one of the ones he had early on. Palmer Trinity, though, to their credit, Aiden Davenport, quarterback, has probably put together two of the best weeks any quarterback has statistically this season. Another great performance, 469 yards and 3 touchdowns. This one's not a touchdown, but this was probably the best throw he made in that game. Take a look. But too much True North, too many weapons. Here's Lopez bringing down another one on a fade route here in the corner of the end zone. That one, they would get in the end zone after that and hold off. Their defense held them off. And again, True North, to their credit, it's a balanced team. I mean, I know they still have a long ways to go, and this is going to be obviously a monumental obstacle against Chaminade. But they've come a long way in just 3 years of varsity football. And, David, I think if they can keep that little core together, they might be able to sustain themselves in the next few years in Class 1M.
Yeah, we mentioned them a little bit a couple of weeks ago. It seems like Greg LaFleur, the coach there, former Hurricane, is doing a fantastic job. And, yeah, they're young. We know how South Florida high school football works. You can have a great young core at a smaller school, and they could all wind up at different schools, especially those middle schoolers who like to play. A lot of times the middle eighth grade kids like to go play at a private school year and then maybe go back to their hometown school as a freshman. They obviously got to try to keep all those kids, but if they can keep all of them, then I mean, that's seems like a really nice core. They're going to have a hard time with Chaminade this weekend though.
Yeah. Well, let's without further ado, we've had them in the quote unquote virtual waiting room long enough. Let's bring in our friend, Larry Bluestein. We're going to talk some state semifinals. Some recruiting now. Larry, thanks as always, my friend. Thank you for joining us. And Larry was on our show earlier this year. How you doing, Larry? I see you're in front of the shrine again.
Yeah. Doing good. Football oriented playoffs, first round. Had an opportunity to see seven games, and then the second round, 5. But as they start playing only on Friday, you only get to see one. But, I know if I go to a game and you or David are there, then I'm at the right game. So,
well, we try to get to we try not to go to the scrubby ones if we can. But no, but tell us, Larry, what you could look at this round. I mean, it's kind of a couple of surprises, maybe on the other end of the bracket. You know, I know we talked a lot about that Jones game against Homestead, but let's go here. Chaminade, I know this looks like a mismatch, obviously against True North, but. What do you think of this team and potentially let's leap ahead at the game, you know, coming the week after, let's say if they get University Christian. I know you've seen University Christian and you even said they had a very good chance of knocking off Trinity, which they did. How do you kind of see Chaminade's road panning out over the next couple of weeks in that regard?
Yeah, no doubt. Well, University Christian, Coach Pentland does a great job. And I saw the first game on tape and I said, wait, they should have won the game. Trinity, you know, kind of got lucky in that game, but I knew University Christian. I mean, they're playing a really good team. Clearwater Central Catholic has done a great job. Just an outstanding football program. I mean, he does it year in and year out. Saw them during the summer, have a really good bunch of linemen and 7-on-7. But that should be a good game between those two. And, yeah, next game Chaminade has will be the opener against Modern Day next year. So, to be honest with it, I mean, if you're putting into perspective – And they're going to call out everybody next year. They'll be, if they're not preseason number one, and basically nobody knows anything about football nationally, just like they should be one or two right now. But Max Preps wants to keep it in the California family. Although I saw that the High School Football America, you know, got smart and put Central at number one and put Chaminade two, which the way it should be. I mean, you know, I mean, you watch those games. I watch them every week, and those teams are really, really good. You put them in a Dade County gauntlet. They're not unbeaten. Isn't even going to be a word in their category. So, you know, I mean, they're when you play a St. Thomas and you play a Heritage and a Central and even a Northwestern, who, like you said, I mean, they came on strong. But, yep, I think Central, I think St. Thomas Chaminade making a record-tying seventh consecutive trip to the state finals. Yeah. Only Glades Day was the only other team. So, yeah, Coach Jones has done a great job. And they're just – and you guys have seen them enough to know they're as loaded as you can get.
Yeah. I'm still pining for a game that we know won't happen, but
no,
I wish Chaminade Central. I wish there was some way we could see those two play.
Yeah,
because next year they're still going to be really good, but you wish you could see this year. Group yeah. this year.
Yeah, no, ahead. You're right, and you know the whole thing is you look at a team like Chaminade, and they're the only team that can make six turnovers and still win a game. You know, against an elite team, so you know how, you know what that's about. But they're. I can't say enough about them. I watched them grow through this process, and the whole thing is they'll probably be better next year because they've already have a couple of linemen that are going to come in, and that's only their weakness. Lose a few people up front. Great secondary coming back. Wide receivers are second to none. Their offensive backfield will be back intact. But, it would be a monumental upset if they even got touched the rest of the year by anybody. If anybody had a chance, it would have been Cardinal Newman, Jack Daniels. But keep your eye on them because, you know, they're going to gobble up a lot of Palm Beach talent over the next year or so.
Yeah, that's a new Dwyer, like I keep calling
it. Yeah. New Dwyer, that's legal to do what they're going to do now.
Exactly.
Before Dwyer used to get those guys and people used to, try to turn them in. But
right.
Not he's anymore. Done a great job.
Yeah. Well, switching now to 2M, I mean, look at the matchups this week. Central against the St. Petersburg Lakewood, a team that is familiar with Miami-Dade County opposition. They lost to Homestead and beat Southridge earlier in the season. They've got a Florida Gators commit on the edge, Isaiah Nixon, while their quarterback, a Virginia commit, Anthony Colandrea, he's had a pretty good year, 27 touchdowns, almost 3,000 yards, a Pitt commit, Montravius Lloyd. So there's some pretty good talent on that team.
Yeah.
But obviously, we know Central's a monster. What do you think? Can Lakewood even make this a contest? Or are we looking at Central?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, they lead the entire state in total offense. Anthony Calandria is one of the best quarterbacks. He's a faster version of Tiger. So, I mean, this kid is just. I mean, he's just amazing. He averaged even in the losses last year to Chaminade and Cardinal Gibbons, he got 409 against Chaminade and 377 against Cardinal Gibbons. It's just that they won't have enough. And they have as many guys in the NFL as some of the other programs. I mean, you know, look at some of the guys that they put into the NFL as well. Well, Coach Moore does a tremendous job. I just don't think they're going to be able to stop Central. I see it actually as a pretty high scoring game. The one thing is Lakewood has South Florida speed. I mean, they do. I mean, they really do. And they had five kids injured against Homestead and four of them against Southridge. And Calandria played very sparingly against Southridge. So they're going to get them at full strength. And like I said, Central is going to have a little bit too much at the end, more experience, a lot more to go for. Obviously, they have a national title now to protect.
Right.
The thing I love about Lakewood, they play tough schedules. And a lot of
teams in
the area don't, you know, there's a lot of rules up there that prevent them from playing too much out of county, but they always come down and play.
Exactly.
Chaminade
they don't play.
Year.
You know, give them credit. Last year, they didn't have to play Chaminade. They didn't have to, they had to play Gibbons because that was in the playoffs. But you're right. A lot of these teams, they didn't have to play Homestead. They didn't have to play Southridge. And they've always done that. I mean, you know, they played Booker T back in the day, although that wasn't a very friendly game. It was like 60-2 at halftime. But
they
I think they'll push back for a minute.
they remind me of Booker T in the sense that, like, you know, like with their track program is another one yes. that's been great for years, yes. and it kind of feeds into the football the same way Booker T and several others
and basketball do. Too. And they're a very athletic yep. sport, and I mean a very athletic school, just not enough depth. They remind me of the Palmetto team that pushed Central to the brink, really, because they got those type of athletes.
Yeah. In the other matchup, obviously, Bulls has the tradition, but they haven't really, you know, since Corky Rogers retired back in the day, they haven't been that good, winning a state championship. But it is still a pretty talented squad. Up front, they have a few kids that are D1 commits. I mean, they have Louisiana commit Cooper Fordham running the ball. That's amassed over 2,000 yards. Their offensive line is led by Iowa State commit Brendan Black. A tight end, Connor Cox, is a South Carolina commit. So, you know, some talent there, but I think it's similar, right, Larry? I think it's similar to what we just talked about, just where Heritage is just going to have so much depth and weapons that it's probably too much to overcome.
Yeah, Bulls lost a lot of games this year, you know, and basically a couple of games that they should have never lost. I mean, but, yeah, they have talent. This is a shell of what Bulls teams have been in the past. You know that, Andre. I mean, this is a – they're going to come down and battle. It's just that there's just too much. And as David will tell you from – just watching. I mean, Heritage has four backs. I mean, they really do, you know, with Dinkins, and you had talked about Byron Lewis and those type of guys. And then they have Brandon Innes, who will be the single best player on every single field that he plays on. I mean, he's just that type of player. And, even Gibbons with a great special teams kept punting to him for some strange reason. They're gonna have to coach smart. But the one thing that's gonna keep Bulls, you know, around is for some reason Heritage makes a lot of mistakes. They fumble the ball a lot. They have a lot of penalties, and so that's gonna keep them around. But I just don't see it. It's just they're at home. They could run and hide. You look at Los Alamitos. They blew Los Alamitos off the face of the earth, and Los Alamitos goes on to be at one point 24th in the nation. So, yeah, this is a whole different story. Mike Smith has been as disciplined a coach as you're going to ever find. The kids respect him, and, Daryl Porter's done a great job with the defense and, you know, beating Gibbons two times in a row. And Mike Smith put it into perspective while the fans are looking at, Gibbons being 2-17 against American Heritage. He did say, listen, this was a two-time defending state champion we beat. Right. So he understands. He understands.
Yeah. And looking at the other side at Class 3M now, Tampa Jesuit, a team I saw when they played Columbus down here.
Yeah.
Also another one that's pretty good. We saw the running back from the Temple commit, Joquez Smith, who looked impressive in that game. You know, Todd Bowles' kid, Troy Bowles, is on the defense leading that, a four-star recruit himself. And I like that freshman quarterback they have, Will Griffin. He was pretty good in that game, too. But, I mean, they're going to go up against that defensive front of Aquinas where you have Devin Payne, you know, Keyshawn Johnson, Says. I mean, this is a sack machine defensive front that they have. And plus that offense with Lyle Sands and Hezekiah Harris, they've been so good, especially in the second half of the year. But how do you see Jesuit, who, you know, last year was a state champion, you know, coming down here, a big test?
Different team we saw in Columbus, definitely. Will Griffin is a beast, but he's now in a little bit more of an experienced beast. Big kid, as you said, Smith does a great job. Good big offensive line. The thing is they've run off five straight wins, and they've done it in pretty much dominating fashion. And they've played some pretty good teams along the way. Largo was not bad at all. They come down here, but they've been in the situation where – they should have beaten Heritage that one year on the field goal. They should have beaten Gibbons when they lost 14-3. And obviously Northwestern, they came down here and Northwestern took care of them. So they're not intimidated, and they won't be. Coach Thompson has a type of team that goes year round. They do a lot of things very well. They're just going to be overwhelmed by a really, really good football team, a team that's top five nationally. As you said, defensively, St. Thomas doesn't really break. They'll bend a little bit. And offensively, they get it done. Yeah, being at home is going to be a huge advantage. But I do think Tampa Jesuit has a chance to, you know, at least punch back a little bit. You know, I mean, they're not going to knock anybody down, but they'll hit you a couple times.
you know St. Thomas wants revenge because that loss last year is maybe the only reason they weren't national champions last
year. Yeah, no doubt. You're 100% right. But, you know, those are the things. That's what makes football. And, you know, obviously they – but St. Thomas is just playing at a different level. And they're – you know, when everybody tries to win districts and tries to win regions, their look is always, David, at a national title. They want to be top five every single year because – that's a great selling point to get kids in there. Listen, we're top five nationally every year, you know I mean? So, and then the kids want to sign up, even if they have to play second and third team, they want to be a part of it.
Yep. They want to be part of that powerhouse, part of that, put their name in the tradition there somewhere. And on the other side of that bracket, this is the one that I really want to hear your thoughts on, because I want to know, because Homestead taking on Jones up in Orlando, I think this is going to be one of the best matchups of the entire weekend in terms of just, especially if Homestead can play error-free football and go up there. It's a talented Jones team, as we mentioned before, that is on a roll right now. 10 straight wins, and they made that pivotal quarterback change over there that seems to have ignited this team. Chris Tooley, an FAU commit, converted cornerback, and was playing defensive back earlier in the year. 10 touchdown passes, no picks. You know, they have some Maryland commits on this team, as well as Jabari Smith, another FAU commit. Malik Bryant, though, David mentioned, as you heard earlier, the way that he's been such a beast for them. I mean, does Homestead have – I mean, I see the Homestead team that beat Northwestern, that forced those turnovers and played error-free most of the time. To me, that's the only way they have a chance to win this game. What do you think?
Yeah. Orlando Jones will overwhelm them up front. That's the whole thing. They're huge up front on both sides of the ball. You talk about Malik Bryant is very active, but their offensive line, albeit it's really, really young – in a lot of ways, that's where they've been winning. I don't think anybody knows the magnification of what they did to Orlando Edgewater. I mean, I don't think the people in South Florida really have a clue. Edgewater was one of the national teams that were on a real run, one of the best running backs in the country, probably one of the best running backs they've had in Florida in years. Beat a good, really good Bosco team from New Jersey. They just took care of business every single game. And, you know, you kind of knew this was going to be one of those games because the first time was 14-13.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really close game. You're 100% right. If Homestead plays error-free ball and doesn't give them opportunities, there'll be a game. If not, they could run away with this because, I mean, they've got the type of speed. They've got South Florida speed. Whole different team that played Miami Northwestern in the kickoff class.
Right.
Completely. Tooley is just an amazing athlete who can throw. Everybody just thought he was a runner because of his speed. But Homestead can win this game, but they can't make mistakes. They can't give – especially there. You've got to understand, this isn't a team that they're playing that is, you know, a bunch of kids that are – overachievers. They're very fast. They've got a lot of team speed and they've got a lot of playmakers. So Homestead's got to go up there, take care of business. They can't play like they did against Southridge, or they'll get blown right out. They will get blown out by 40. I mean, and I watched that game against Southridge when they played and they were lethargic. Their playmakers like Isaac Brown didn't really have a great game. They didn't get the ball to Dandridge enough. But those guys got to go into that game and just play as hard as they can. And that's the one thing that Coach Simpson's got to kind of, I think, has got to preach is no turnovers.
Yeah.
No penalty.
I that's like my one knock with Homestead this year is that like what you just said about not getting Isaac Brown and Dandridge. I feel like those two need to get the ball even more than they do. I've seen them get a few touches, but I feel like in a game like this, you're absolutely right. They need to get,
I agree,
10 or upwards of 10 maybe touches in the backfield.
At least. Because they're your playmakers. They're the guys, Cortez Mills, guys like that. You want to get the ball in their hands. And you've got arguably one of the best junior quarterbacks from a high school standpoint in the state of Florida. I mean, Townsend's a difference maker. Without Townsend, they're okay. With Townsend, they're better than okay.
It's also interesting you mentioned how big Jones' offensive line is because Homestead's defensive line has been really good this year. That's Philip Simpson's specialty, but they're kind of small. They're undersized. He's even said that, like, we're kind of like the gritty, like, we're the overachievers on that defensive line this year.
Right.
And that'll be a real challenge.
Uphill climb.
Jones. Yeah.
Well, we'll see if Homestead can make it to Dade versus Broward finals. Obviously, it's a tall task up there, as we talked about. And here's a team that, you know, not to knock anything on them, but it's not their fault. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. But their road's pretty much opened up in Class 4M, and they're taking care of business, and that's Columbus. And we've seen the team several times. The three of us have seen them over the course of the year. They're going to face an Ocoee team that's come on strong in the second half and gotten on a little winning streak there at the end. I mean, they have some talent, too. I mean, look at senior Asad Wasim is a three-star receiver with about 18 FBS school offers. Their running back, Keandre Jones, has had over 1,200 yards this season. Those are their guys on offense. And then on defense, an Illinois commit, Calvin Smith, their edge rusher, has 20 sacks this year. Zach Toby is another one who's a big recruit. So it's an interesting challenge for a Columbus team that, you know, from the beginning has looked like maybe they don't blow you away with the five-star talent, but they have ingredients of just about everything that you need to put together a state championship team. What do you know about Ocoee, Larry, and what's this game going to be like?
I've seen Ocoee a lot.
I know, silly question when I ask you that, right?
When you were talking, the first two names that came out of your mouth were kids that weren't there last year. Wasim was, he's a kid who went to West Orange and he went to Wakaiva. Really good receiver. He's been to a lot of schools, like I said. Same thing with Jones. Jones was the running back last year, if you remember, when Popka played Venice here. So they've gotten a lot of – because all those teams out there, you have a Popka, you have West Orange, they're all Western type of teams, Wakaiva. They're all programs that are loaded. Those kids are just so closely intertwined. They've got a really, really good football team that, you know, that peaked at times this year. But you're talking in Columbus, I think, arguably one of the best coach teams, maybe nationally.
Yeah.
Dave Dunn, you know what, like I'll tell you, these people, he didn't waste 14 years at the collegiate level for nothing. I mean, you got to figure, here's a guy who was at FAU, and he was up in Maine, and he was at Yale, and he was all these different schools. And his coaching staff is far superior there than a lot of them. And that's where they've taken a lot of these kids who are athletes, but they brought them to the next level because they're outstanding coaches. Columbus, as they showed you against Central, as they showed you against Northwestern, they're not lying down for anybody. I could see them against a Popka in the state finals, which would be an unbelievable game. You talk about revenge. A Popka has a little revenge on Columbus for that game that got away from them a couple years ago. But
that's right.
Yeah, Ocoee's a really good team. They're just not overall in Columbus's time zone right now. I mean, they got, like you said, they've got four or five kids. But four or five kids is not going to be Columbus, as we saw with Northwestern. They had four or five kids too. And I know they had a lot of guys out and it was a close game, but Columbus just gets up for people. You know, I mean, they really do. Their defense is amazing, and it's going to be more amazing next year because seven of those 11 starters come back. Right. And offensively, can't say enough about what Mendoza's done. Arguably one of the top quarterbacks in South Florida. I mean, he's a real smart kid that wanted, you see, and here's the thing. There's a lot to be said for kids who win jobs. You know, I mean, if you're just handed a job and you go through the motions, but he's played at that high level. You look back at all the games, you look back at the Central game, how he single-handedly brought them back because he's a smart guy. You mentioned Andre in the Tampa Jesuit game. I mean, he was on target. It wasn't his better games, but he did finish things off. And when you have, you know, guys like Irvin to make plays, I heard maybe Leon might not play. I think he got hurt in the last game, which will be a blow because he's a weapon and arguably one of the top, you know, playmaking juniors around. But they've got a really solid offensive line. And you mentioned not big, big names, but they've been always cohesive. And that's the thing. And I think on offense, they have some playmakers. And I think they have one of the best punters since Reggie Roby.
Reggie was still around, he'd be proud of this kid. That's for sure.
No doubt. But yeah, I think Ocoee comes down. They'll rattle a chain for a minute or two, but just Columbus is way well too and they've got the athletes, you know, outside the junior kids that get all the pub. They've got kids, you know, like if you look out on that field and you look at them and you go, if you just saw them singularly, you know, at a game or at a camp and stuff, you wouldn't think much of them. But as team players, that coaching will come up big for Columbus once again.
Yeah, and to echo that, an accomplishment that you talked about, Coach Dunn and his staff. This is four times in a row. You know, now obviously we're throwing out the COVID. We're not throwing out the COVID year. We had to mention even during the COVID year.
Even then, they won
the Tri-County Championship.
Yeah, they probably won the state title that year.
Yeah, exactly. But in the 4 years that they've been able to, it's that they've gone to the Final Four. That not a lot of teams you could say statewide can accomplish that.
Especially in a big classification like they were 8A.
I agree.
Yeah, which 8A, 6A, whatever the highest class is, you know, there's always turnover. There was always a new team every 2-3 years. And ask Apopka, like you mentioned, Apopka with a long history of ups and downs against Dade and Broward teams, not just Columbus. But, yeah, I think Cedric Irvin, too. I mean, you mentioned a lot of guys. I think he's going to have a big game, especially if they're missing one of their top receivers. I think they mix that in and kind of throw off that Okoye defense. That'll be something.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, to just extend on that point, what Chris Merritt did there, it was amazing because he set the table from a not just a talent standpoint, but just a philosophy standpoint. And then Dave Dunn was there before. He knows the landscape. And then he just returned, take what Chris did and then compound on it and just use all his experiences. So Columbus has been very fortunate in the last 20 plus years to have some of the best coaching that you could have in South Florida.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Larry, as usual, my friend, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the insights and you taking the time to do this with us. And, maybe we can talk again with you before the season's over. Or maybe do some kind of season wrap up, but like always, thank you, my friend. We'll see you on the sideline pretty soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, guys. Appreciate both of you.
Larry Bluestein, everybody, you catch him on I believe now on Tuesday nights these days, if not on Monday nights, his show on WQAM. Check it out. Wealth of knowledge and always has great guests from the high school football community. And now we're gonna wrap this episode up. David and I are talking about making our picks. We talked a lot about those games, but now here's where we're going to tell you who we think is going to win all of these games. David, I think let's do the layup first, the True North versus Chaminade. And again, we don't mean to knock True North. They had a great year and a tremendous job by Coach LaFaire and his staff. But Chaminade, we know, is just on an incredible run right now. And I think the Lions will cruise in this game, but we wish True North the best in keeping and building upon that core. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I mean, it's the number one team in the country, arguably against not the number one team in the country, right? Like, yeah. True North is they've been one of the best stories of the season, building obviously in the right direction out of nowhere into a, you know, if you're in the Final Four, you're a state title contender, right? Like you got to consider them that. The gap is very large though right now between them and Chaminade, so you got to go with Chaminade.
Yeah, we want to remind everybody also to vote on our high school player of the week polls as always this week. One of the guys in that poll on the Broward side is that defensive tackle for Chaminade, Wayne Pert. Well, I think you hear a lot about all these other guys on Chaminade, but I think you can make a case he's the heart and soul of that defense up front. 3 sacks last week, 6 overall that they had against Cardinal Newman. He's on that ballot. So is Mark Fletcher that we talked about before and a few others. So go ahead and vote on the Dade side. Joshua Townsend, as we mentioned before, had a big game. Aiden Davenport for Palmer Trinity. J-Rock Lopez there. But MiamiHerald.com/sports on the high school sports page. You'll find the polls there. You can vote until Thursday night as many times as you'd like for the player you feel should be the player of the week. Let's jump to our next prediction here, and we have Okoye versus Columbus in that 4M matchup. As you saw, Larry talked about how Okoye brought in a lot of reinforcements from around the Orlando area, but I don't think it's enough. I think Columbus is on that mission to get back and win their second state title. What do you think?
Yeah, I like Columbus here. I mean, they've had some shaky first halves. Obviously, the Central one where they were down huge and came back, even against Palmetto a couple weeks ago. Very competitive first half and then pulled away in the second. I would not be surprised if it's the same thing because obviously Okoye has some really good talent there and on both sides of the ball too, right? It's not going to – if you're trying to get into a defensive struggle or a shootout with Columbus, you're probably not going to win because they're too well coached. But they've got enough talent on both sides of the ball to keep it competitive, but I like Columbus in this one.
Yeah, And there's always that little bit of a, like, the unfamiliarity with an opponent from out of town.
Yeah.
Kind of takes a little bit to kind of settle into the game and get that. And I think they will. And Columbus tends to play close first half sometimes anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
I can see that for sure. Moving on to our next one, we're going to go to Trask Powell. That game, Columbus game, by the way, Tropical Park Friday night. We haven't been saying that. Chaminade at home against True North. The Central game against Lakewood, making our next pick here. That game at Trask Powell on Friday night. Yes, Lakewood has all that talent, but I think the Rockets, we've seen them too many times this year. And they're, again, another team that can do it all, whether it's running the football. And I like the fact that the Rockets have been running the ball during the postseason more than they did during the regular season. I think that's the added dimension that makes them even more deadly, and they should coast in this one. What do you think?
Yeah, Lakewood has a lot of talent. You know who also has a lot of talent? Miami Central. So I'm going to go with Miami Central this one. But yeah, like you said, I mean, that Lakewood, I love that they're battle-tested, right? A lot of teams will get to this time of year, and maybe they've just been beaten up on lesser competition in their non-South Florida neck of the woods. Lakewood is not, for years and years, like I said, they play out of their area. They play good teams. But the gap, I mean, Miami Central is another team that is arguably the number one team in the country, and Lakewood is not. So I like Miami Central.
Yep. Bulls against American Heritage on the other side, just to complete this potential Dade Broward final. If it was 11 years ago, Bulls, I'd be a little worried about Heritage. Not now. I think you would agree.
Yeah, they really impressed me once again this weekend. But, you know, Bulls is always going to be competitive, right? Like, I don't see this being a 45-3 win for Heritage. I think it could be similar to what we saw them do against Cardinal Gibbons on Friday. So I think that gap is probably about the same.
And 3M, I think, like we said before, these are, to me, the two best matchups. I think Jesuit comes down here against St. Thomas, and that's going to be – I think they can challenge St. Thomas, especially when there's a revenge game. You know, emotions are high, that sort of thing. But Aquinas seems like they have enough. And from seeing Jesuit this year, they're just not quite there yet like they were last year. They might get back to that maybe next season, but I think Aquinas has too much. What do you think?
Yeah, they're not going to lose to Jesuit twice in as many years, I don't think. I think – you know, we talk about Columbus is one of the best coach teams in the state, Homestead, Phillip Simpson, the job he's done there. But, you know, Roger Harriott flies under the radar because of all the talent they always have. But, you know, you look across the board and it's not a bunch of Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State commits. It's three-star running backs and three-star defensive ends, and they get the absolute most out of them. And obviously their depth is always better than anyone else's, but they lost a lot from last year, and they look just as good as they did when it was Zion Turner and Anthony Hankerson running that offense. So I like St. Thomas in this one to get back to the state championship.
Yep. They were going for their 14th overall, which leads the state ahead of the Jacksonville Bulls team that we talked about, even though Bulls hasn't done it in 11 years and not likely this time. And the last one, the one that's the furthest away from South Florida in Orlando, right there next to the Citrus Bowl, we'll have Jones High against Homestead. Can the Broncos pull it off there? What do you think?
I want to pick them because I just really respect the job that Phillip Simpson has done there and the weapons that they have on offense, like you said, and the way that they play defense. But I think Larry put it well. They're like a South Florida team. They have that speed. They have that athleticism. You know, I saw them play in the state championship a couple of years ago against Northwestern, and they went toe to toe with a really, really good Northwestern team. I'm going to go with Jones in this one. I would love to be proved wrong, though.
Yeah. And it pains me too on this one, but I realistically, to me, Homestead has to prove it. I mean, are they capable?
Yeah. This is the first they've been in since the 80s. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I was at that Northwestern game in the way
you were going to say you were at that game in 1984.
No. I'm not that old. I don't even make old jokes about it, but I'm not that old. But the game against Northwestern, six turnovers and kind of spiraled, kind of showed you what they could do. I mean, but Jones is not going to turn I seriously doubt they're going to turn the ball over six times. So this is going to have to be one where, most importantly, they do not turn the ball over and they can get a good game. And they have to run the ball. I think Isaac Brown is underutilized, and I think he's going to have to really get more touches, especially. But no, I mean,
it makes you wonder, were they saving him, right? Like, were they saving, you know,
he's a smaller
running back. You don't want him to take a ton of hits throughout the year when you know that this was probably coming at some point.
Yeah. Is this where you unleash him and really take this over? But until proven otherwise, this Jones team, you can't just scoff and say, oh, they lost to Northwestern at the beginning of the year. No. Like Larry said, completely different team now, playing much better. So, yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think the Tigers deny everybody the chance at two Dade versus Broward games. But we'll see. We'll see if exit one proves us all wrong this weekend. And that's our show for this week. For David Wilson, I'm Andre Fernandez, Deputy Sports Editor. We'll be back next week to start previewing the state championship games. Likely we may have Chaminade up in Tallahassee next week playing in the Class 1M final, followed by the other three the following week at Drive Pink Stadium in Fort Lauderdale, Classes 4M through 2M. But until then, we appreciate you watching the show, and we hope you continue to, and have a safe and blessed week. Take care, everybody.